who advise us on apologies and take us through the agenda. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to members and department. The agenda for today, Wednesday, 18 October 2017, is as follows. We just had tea and coffee, and then that will be followed by apologies, adoption of the agenda, briefing on the 2017-18 quarterly supplementary report, one of the department entities. And then members will deliberate on the presentation, and thereafter it will be consideration of the last meetings, 11 October. And then it will be an update on the revised committee program. Thank you, Chair. I have got only two apology chair for Mr. Kolwama and Mr. Kalman.
The committee secretary is moving on paperless, but he did not advise us. I want to request members to open their cards so that they can see the agenda. He missed bringing it. So it's so unfortunate because we are not in parliament, so we may not be in a position to get all this. But it has not changed from what we had. We have only two apologies. The essence of the agenda is only the briefing by department and its entities. We deliberate, go to minutes, and then we update it on the program. Is there anyone moved for the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Fasbasley, seconded by Honorable Abram. Thank you, Honorable Members. At this stage, we are going to hand over to the department.
Okay.
I think when the secretary was outlining apologies, he forgot a letter we received earlier on. The department is most on most occasions is led by the Director General. A letter of apology was sent to us from the office of the Director General. There's a Sunday club committee which is chaired by the DG, which is having a meeting in South Africa. He is now held up in that meeting which is held in East London. But subsequent to that, he has sent a person next in line to lead the delegation. That is why we have the DG today. Ms. Moila, you apologize. I'm sorry, you're pardon us. Your spelling is very difficult, especially for Kosa speaking, who have very hard time. So for purposes of this meeting, so that we don't offend you every time we mention your spelling, can you allow us to use your first name and say AG, because for me it's difficult just to pronounce your spelling. That's what is happening on the side of the department. Mr. Baker, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. I have apologized also to administrators. I have to leave at 12 o'clock, so I apologize up front. I did speak to you about it as well, and I'm sorry about it. I'm not being rude to the department. I know they're taking a lot of time and trouble to be here, and I apologize up front for that. And then also thank you for Zulani organizing these fantastic cookies. I wasn't allowed to tell anyone how many I ate. Thank you.
You are welcome. No, you really indicated to me that you'll be leaving at 12. The department, they don't love them so dearly. But they are so excited, they are going to miss your office questions. Because we'll be gone by that time. But on a lighter note, over to you, AK, introduce the delegation.
Thank you. Chairperson, my name is Ekibuiva, and I do a chair committee of the project. My feeling is difficult. I remember that the first time in this couple who was hearing the first time, the first time they asked if I was drunk. Chairperson, please allow me to ask the Anthony to introduce himself. The justice to who you are and where you came from. Thank you.
Thank you,
James.
My name is Marsha Bronkhorst. Here I work in the Department of Labor.
My name is Bakumi Matthew.
Morning, my name is Lavunde PVC from Netlink, I'm head of program operation.
Good morning, my name is Samping Gadaza, chief financial officer at Netlink.
Good morning, honorable members, my name is Mato Tabilagalzi, the creative director of Netlink.
Good morning, honorable members, my name is Sukumko Kimamwaro, the CEO of Safari and Finance Enterprise.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Felix Ongo, Chief Financial Officer, SDG.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Felix Ongo, Chief Financial Officer, Department of Labour.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Felix Ongo, I'm the CFO of the United States.
My name is Jim Kumi, Chief Director of Operation UIO.
Promotion of sound labor relations, they have three indicators.
zero work chiefs. Monitoring the impact of legislation, there were two work chiefs, and then strengthening the institutional capacity, there were four and two work chiefs, which brings us to a 53% achievement level in terms of our strategic objectives. The next slide on page 5 is quarter one performance per program. This is broken down into the four sub-programs in the Department of Labor. In terms of administration, there were four. They achieved two indicators, which brings us to a 50% achievement of performance level. IES had four indicators, of which only one was achieved. This brings us to a 25% performance level. Public Employment Services has achieved, they had four, and they achieved four, which brings us to 100% achievement level. And then Labor Policy and Industrial Relations had seven indicators, of which they achieved three, which brings us to a 53% performance level. And that aggregates out to 53% again, as I said in the introductory slide. This is a breakdown per province, so that members of the committee can see the province which they have challenges. And I would also like to talk to some of the provinces you're going to see consistently that there are areas of underperformance in these particular provinces. In terms of Eastern Cape, they have managed to achieve the indicators for IAS as well as public employment services. Free State has achieved 75% of the inspection and enforcement services target and 100%. Jefferson, if you'll indulge us, I'll only focus on the areas of non-achievement. Is that fine? Thank you. Gauteng achieved 25% of their IES target. Kansas has achieved 75%. Limpopo 50% of IES. Mpumalanga achieved 50%. Northern Cape achieved 33% of the IES target and 75% of their PEST target. And this is one province where there is currently conservation management taking place. The head of the province, as well as the head of the director for IES, we are taking management, conservation management steps. I think those steps should be finalized next week, the hearing, in terms of management problems. Northwest, 50% was achieved for IES, 100% for PEST, and then Western Cape, 50% and 75%. Now, Western Cape, there is an acting head of the province. We advertised this post. We could not find suitable candidates, and we re-advertised the post in the closing date, after which we hope to fill the post with a suitable candidate. Jefferson, let's just give an overview of the department's performance in terms of IES and public employment services. If you will allow me then to focus on the areas of non-achievement for the different programs of the department. The first slide will then be of non-achievement, which will be my slide 13. This is my slide 12, slide 13. Program 1 is administration. The two areas of non-achievement here is firstly the impact action plan, which we wanted to have implemented 50% of the implementation of the impact action plan, yet only 25% was implemented as at the end of July. And then the communication annual plan, which we had challenges with part of the plan, in terms of 22 of the 25 indicators were achieved. And the other three were linked directly to information that was to be circulated in the media, etc., which could not take place. If we move to inspection and enforcement services, members of the committee will recall that we have made an undertaking that we would unpack the details of the inspection. Because we decreased the number of indicators, we said that when we come to this report at the committee, we would discuss the details in terms of the different pieces of legislation in our presentation. Now, the first number of slides clearly focuses on the areas of non-achievement, but if you will allow me to move directly to slide 26 on page 13. It starts to give us an indication of which areas in terms of legislation were a challenge. 26. Great, thank you. And the first couple of slides talk about employment equity, and you will recall when I started the presentation there was one indicator and it has not been achieved. here one can see that the reason that the area is for non-achievement. There are quite a number of provinces which did not meet their target in terms of DG reviews. There were the target was 362 DG reviews which had to take place, and only 224 took place. And the big challenges here are Gauteng, where only 3 DG reviews took place, KZN was 21 versus 38, Limpopo 36 versus 46, Mpumalanga 24 versus 43. And again, in Gauteng, we are busy with investigations and the report has been received in terms of consequential management against the management of the Directorate of Inspections and Enforcement Services in that province. The next slide. This is procedural inspections in terms of employment equity. Here the challenges are Gauteng, Northern Cape and Northwest, which did not achieve, and you will see, as I said earlier in my introduction, some provinces consistently do not perform in IAS, and here we can see the same names coming up again, as was alluded to earlier during my presentation in terms of Gauteng, Northwest and Northern Cape. Here we have a shortfall of 250 inspections in this quarter, and this is directly linked to, if we look at Gauteng, for example, they alone had a shortfall of 243. And unfortunately, the performance of the rest of the department was not such, or the rest of the provinces was not such that they could pick up the slack in terms of the shortfall of Gauteng. The next slide, please. We're coming now to the detection of vulnerable workers. Our target here was 33,686. We achieved 33,480, but that is also partly due to the overperformance of some provinces. You'll see that the red is quite obvious there. But some provinces overachieved their targets, and that cancels it out, so that we in the end have this target of 206 short of what we agreed that we would take. Again, Gauteng is in the area of concern, Northern Cape is the area of great concern. If we look at the numbers which they did not achieve their targets with, as well as Western Cape. So these names, Northern Cape, Gauteng, keep on coming through, and we are busy, as I said earlier, in terms of consequential management for the managers in these provinces. Here we have surpassed the target for the number of inspections except for the in province. We were tasked with 3,569 inspections, but we managed to do 3,788 in terms of employer audits, and that was an overachievement of 79, as we can still be a challenge here. Chairperson, I would like to move now to incidents investigated at finalized. It's slide 32 on page 16 of the document. Here we can see that we wanted to achieve a percentage of 65% of our incidents investigated and finalized within the time frame. We managed to do that to 4%. Here again it was housing, then Mpumalanga and Northwest. Mpumalanga, I'm aware that there were quite a large number of vacancies in terms of occupational health and safety inspectors, and that does have an impact on the turnaround time in terms of inspection. On slide 34, it gives us a very nice breakdown in terms of DG reviews per sector of the economy. What we have reviewed and recommendations. Now, members will know that recommendations mean that the employers are not compliant. We have inspected quite a number in terms of manufacturing. The largest number that we reviewed was in the manufacturing sector. 32 employers were reviewed there, and 51 were served with recommendations, which means non-compliance is what could be 98-99%. The next largest number of employers that were reviewed was in the agricultural sector. 44 were reviewed and 57 were as I go through this data, you will know that compliance is actually non-existent in terms of employment equity. Here and there, there's one or two. Mining and quarrying, we had 10 reviews, 8 were non-compliant. Electricity, gas and water was 1 review, and that employer was non-compliant. Construction, 19, with 18 non-compliant. Retail and motor trade, 13, with 11 non-compliant. Wholesale trade, commercial agents, 25 were reviewed, 23 non-compliant. Catering accommodation and other trades, 17 were reviewed, 15 were found to be compliant. Transport, storage, communication, 12, of which 10 were non-compliant. Finance and business services, 10 employers were reviewed, and all 10 were found to be non-compliant, or were issued with recommendations. And community, special and personal services, 21 employers reviewed, 20 were found to be non-compliant. And if we think of what the Employment Equity Report has stated, also when it was released, we can clearly see that we have challenges in terms of compliance to employment equity. That takes care of inspection and enforcement services. Chairperson, public employment services have achieved all their indicators, but if you would allow me just to look at the number of impact clients, if that is acceptable to the committee. The first one that I would like to look at is if we look at the best staff capacity in the Department of Labour, we'll see that we have got 96 employment counsellors servicing the whole of the population of the country and 171 employment services practitioners servicing the whole of the country in terms of our population. I would like to focus on work seekers registered by age group, slide 43. It's page 21 on the handout, on my handout. As was reported during the previous year, still the biggest number, the largest number by far, are work seekers, are young people between the ages of 16 and 35. 55% of them are lying in this age category, with the remaining 45% 36 years and above. And this is directly linked to the high unemployment rate for young people, where we can see that 39% of young people aged 15 to 34 were unemployed, according to South Africa. So there's direct link, and the large number of the work seekers that come to the Department of Labour are young people. The next slide I would like to look at is slide 45, which is on page 23. The next one is where figures registered by disability. That one, thank you. I thought it would be of some interest to the members of the committee to look at the work seekers that have registered with us by the disability that they have. In terms of 500, we had 1,266 people with disability to claim and registered at the department, of which 562 were are blind. So you can see that nearly 50% of the people registered in the Department of Labour who are disabled are people who do not have sight, who are blind. Then 354 are physically disabled, and then the rest, as we can see as per the slide, going from there with people with chronic medical conditions as well as other disabilities. On slide 48, I think work seekers registered by NQF level. It is on page 25 of the presentation. The largest number of work seekers registered at the Department of Labour, the qualifications are NQF level 4 and above, only 5%. Have got NQF level 4 above, matrician above. And 94% of our work seekers do not have any qualification or equivalent of at least NQF level 1. employment, working relationship and employment counseling by age group. It is slide on page 30. Slide 87. about the percentage of labor organization applications which were approved or refused. We approved one within the 90 days, but refused 34 within the 90 days. We received 38, and we dealt with 35. But the others, we had information outstanding, and they dragged too long the time frames that we had in terms of finalizing the registration. Slide 68. The moderation of workplace conflict. These were the documents, the amendments to the legislation, and I'm sure you are all aware that we could not keep to the time frames here because they were delayed in terms of getting the opinions from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisors and so forth in terms of finalizing the amendments. Chairperson, I think that takes care of the Department of Labor's presentation in terms of performance. If I can look at the financials. And I would only like to focus here on one slide, and that would be the slide 93. You will have now heard that administration has increased 50% of indicators, so 25% of time is left in terms of the time for the financial year. Administration has spent just under 20% of their budget. Inspection and enforcement services have spent just under 21% of their budget. Public employment services just under 17%. And labor policy and industrial relations also have spent just under 17% of their budget, which brings us to expenditure less transfers of 19% for quarter one. If I'm allowed to move to the public employment and private performance, which will be on slide. If you can just go back one. Next one, please, slide 99. So we get this, I can't see my own numbers. Slide number 99. The first area that was not achieved. For supported employment in private, was the issue of print media campaigns, which were not done, because there were challenges that they had in finalizing the procurement with GCIS, whom you know is responsible for print media, securing space in newspapers, etc. The next area of non-achievement is the visits to special schools, which supported employment in private would like to do. Advocate the factories and the availability of conditions in the factories for people with disabilities. The target there was 25, they achieved 4, they managed to visit 4 special schools, and here the reason for constraints was the lack of reliable updated database of special schools, and then the availability of key people to meet is also a challenge. And the remedial action is to get the updated database and to schedule the appointments with the schools before the visit and make sure that the relevant people are there. The last slide in terms of supporting employment in private is the financial performance. Here we will see that the actual revenue received was 11 million. This would be at 31st of July. And the budget or the amount that was budgeted was 57 million. Cost of sales was 42 million. 51 was budgeted. There was a gross loss of 31 million in the first 3 months of the year. And the other incomes that were received was 38 million versus the budget of 53 million. Chairperson, and I think if we look at the operating expenses, it's 4 million versus a budget of 8 million, but this is only due to unfunded agencies. So that has taken part of the Jason.
Thank you. I'm going to remember that we need one to where we take the board's report. I know most of the report, and let me know the differences. Is that approach fine with us, or you want to discuss this one before you go to the NDC?
Mm-hmm.
from yourself. Honorable Chairman. That's a proposal. Anyone second that view? Honorable Baker.
I just think it's a little bit difficult because we're going to have to remember this is a pretty lengthy report, and even this I'm having difficulty swallowing at the moment. I'm having the next report and then hear that and we come back to this. I'm not sure if we're going to get anywhere. I mean, obviously this is a report. The only questions we can really ask are for explanations as opposed to challenging the report. We're not challenging the report. That's what it is. But I would strongly suggest that we look at this. I mean, this is 50 pages of it. And it's probably worth at least tackling now. Obviously, I'm in the hands of the majority.
Why does the majority agree? Because there are two views now. Anyone who seconds the first view of saying let's discuss all the report, to let's hear all the report and discuss later. Honorable Councillor, please.
Chair, I'm also finding very difficult to listen to the report. I think what people are rather doing is discuss the report that the trustee presented and then the entity presentation we can take it out in
the discussion. Anyone who supports the view that let's discuss all the reports? Because there's no one who's supporting it, then it means we have classification questions from the report that's given. I'll take him. Honorable Baker, Honorable America, Honorable Franz Gaffey, any other hand? Alright, let's go with that question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I said earlier, I'm having difficulty swallowing all of it, so obviously in due course I will have other questions to have a look at it. I know that, and I've brought this up before, the department sets its own targets, and even in setting its own targets, somehow it's given us bad news in terms of this first quarter. And there have been many areas that have been pointed out to us, and I thank the department for pointing out the areas where there are deficiencies in their own report. But again, I'm going to make the same comment, and the comment is that for some reason or other, we're still not getting any difference in the labour market. In the sense of more jobs, better jobs, we're just not getting it. But also your infiltration into the workplace. Jobs do exist, the numbers are paltry. You're inspecting very few places, you're creating very few jobs. The reality is I'm not sure if the department's making a difference. One only has to go into the marketplace, and most businesses that one speaks to, and we all do that on a daily basis, they've never seen a visit from the department. They are not compliant with any of our labor legislation whatsoever. And again, there was one horrific slide which you referred us to where you've only spent a percentage of the budget on inspection and enforcement. I think it was 21%. That was on page 47, slide 94, which again to my mind is absolutely horrific. I'm not sure what's going on, and this is even with your own targets that you've set. I question the targets in the first place. I believe someone from the outside should maybe be setting the department for the department and not setting it yourself. So I make that as an overall comment. Another overall comment is that we know that something like 60 to 70% of our youth are unemployed in South Africa. Those are the precise figures that are coming out. And yet, you were only able to place 3,400 people, or just less, work seekers. I mean, that's not even a drop in the ocean. And then you say, okay, there's 1,600, the remaining 1,600 work seekers are 36 years in the bunch. Again, I mean, I'm not sure whether we ought to be spending any money on this at all. Rather, let's just drop it, not spend the money. If you, in fact, use that money rather for people to help them seek jobs, you'd probably have a better result. So I'm not sure what that's all about. It's just ridiculous to even think about. I don't want to keep you here for ages, but the bottom line is we need to be spending more time and effort on the support of employment enterprises. And again, it looks absolutely paltry what you're actually doing. I know the Minister of Labour has reported that I think that something like 3% of our workforce ought to be, or just more than that, ought to be employed, and yet they have only 1% of the disabled at work, which is horrific. I mean, another thing, if you look at page 50 and slide 100, I can't believe that you've got unreliable database of special schools. Well, we've got a Department of Education. Maybe you ought to speak to it. But do they not know where the schools are, who they are? That's a hell of a comment on the Department of Education. Unless you refuse to speak to the Department of Education, and then we've got a bigger problem than that. But it looks like what you made a comment here which really undermines the Department of Education. Maybe it's true. And maybe they don't know how many schools or where they are. It's a real problem. If you go up one slide above that, 99, the number of print media campaigns. The media are desperate to get information. They're desperate for campaigns. Most of the media will print almost anything. So with no one working, what was the real issue earlier? Maybe you can explain that to us. I'll come back to this in the course. Thank you very much.
Honourable America, you also choose could not swallow this report, but I can say you have swallowed almost a big chunk. Honourable America.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the time to be in it. Really voluminous reports, but I think Madam Chair, the main cost driver within the department the compensation of employees, and one could, from the figures presented, there's a huge under spent regarding compensation of employees. Consequently, also that would suggest that there's certain percentage of vacancies within the department. We don't know what the vacancy rate is, and where those particular vacancies exist and which programs those vacancies exist. Second advantage is that what, you know, from a cursory interpretation of what has been presented, it is clearly one of the avenues that we constantly and over time has raised about the inspection services. And again, as my colleague has stated, the budget for inspection services is underspent in the first quarter by over 20 million rand. And it's concerning if one look at it in the context of the underperformance of mankind. Is targets in various provinces. For example, if one look at the targets and this prophet did give some sort of explanation as to why the underperformance in the Northern Cape and I think the Western Cape. It's just and what is to be done. Believe that that may not be the only reasons as to why the underperformance exists. Another appointment of the provincial chief in the Western Cape should not impact that dramatic on the underachievement of the services. And what is being done about it? It certainly doesn't bode well for the strictest efficacy of our labor legislation. And we know the high degree of non-compliance in certain sectors. Then I'm sure I'd like to also just highlight the improved equity inspections. If one look at the target services for the for all intents and purposes, you know, in my opinion, I would suggest that it's a very modest targets, and yet in many instances it's not been achieved. Similarly, and as my colleague alluded also, the protection of vulnerable employees. Those are employees who are at the mercy of ruthless or uncaring or employers who have complete disregard for protection of basic employee rights. And yet one finds, particularly in the Northern Cape, high degree of how to do a election of duty with regard to those employees. It's completely unacceptable. Then I would like to also just make a remark with regard to the presentation of the data with regard to certain categories, particularly with regard to the IES. Specifically referring to employment equity inspections, protecting vulnerable workers. But we have a target in a chair, and we have an actual inspection, and then we have a variant. Now, and look at all the other tables and how they is presented. We find ourselves a situation where we have a lot of contact variants, and it could be either minus, or it could be zero, it could be over. At first glance, it doesn't really make a meaningful impact. But if we could represent those variances as percentages, and certainly one could easily see the degree of compliance and achievement of targets. And then, like to refer to one other slide, and that is the occupational health and safety slide. I don't know, maybe it's a graphical error. On my page 16, the top slide, there are figures there just in line with the total supply. So I don't know what those figures represent and where they're supposed to be. Maybe there's an explanation there. And then lastly, I might like for more questions and share with that. This is before the second half now. The inspection for work permits. The department is that, yes, that particular one. I would say it's reactive. In a sense that you wait for requests. I think that we need to be a little bit more proactive. If we don't wait for employees, maybe I have a wrong interpretation of it, that after the request received, suggests that the spot was alerted to it or asked to do inspection, and hence they conducted those inspections. And maybe we could just be a little bit more proactive in the sense that that we would have a secondary target also. I mean, we react upon requests, but we also really define what we in a proactive way will do. And then lastly, with the annual reports and the BRRR process, we became aware of irregular, wasteful, unauthorized expenditure within the department and some of the entities. I suppose we as the committee only come to be aware of it at the end of the process when we get this annual report. And so the question is that Chair is that the first point. Do we have a sense of amount of unauthorized wasteful expenditure might be? And if so, what is being done about it to prevent this? What consequences are those to be implemented? And I think that's probably a question I'll ask for all the entities. Madam Chair, I think that is the only way that we will, on a regular basis, be made aware of what we should really be expecting. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Can I just check with the last question?
Sure.
Are you saying the need to speculate of the trend that is to be vulnerable,
right? Now, I don't want them to speculate. If they know, then they can tell us. They don't know, and report back at a later stage.
On that, yes. On that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the only thing, Chairperson, I really need to emphasize that we are not happy with the overall performance of the Department of Labor. The sound is business as usual and continuously we are revising the budget and seeing the results. But what is of particular concern for me is, Chairperson, when you look at the overall performance.
Department of Labor, which spends at 53% for the period under review. Also, in terms of the program, for instance, the IES spending at 25%. And when you look at the financial performance or the expenditure, you'll find that against the 53% of actual performance of the department, you'll find that they spend 21%. Also, in terms of your inspection and enforcement services, against the 25%, they spend 23% of their budget. And that's particularly of concern to me, the slow pace in which they're spending their budget. So I need just some clarification with regards to the low levels of expenditure against the actual performance. But I think whilst we are criticizing Chairperson, we need to commend the Public Employment Services for their 100% performance, although their financial expenditure stands at 18% at the point of contract. When looking at the high number of shortfalls in some provinces in terms of expenditure, not expenditure in terms of performance, such so low as 33 and 25% respectively in the Northern Cape and the Gauteng province, is really a point of concern. And I remember last year we, during the report, the department also acknowledged that in some provinces there's a low level of performance, and they had action plans in place. So I just need to know if we've moved into the fourth quarter one and we've seen that this is happening, what are they doing in terms of re-strategizing? Because clearly the plan that has been put in place is not working, so that they ensure better performance in these provinces. Also, Chairperson, when we speak about low performance rates, we need to establish what is the root causes of the problem before we can institute consequence management, so that we can make sure that it's not the problem is remedied. So if we can have some clarification in that regard as well. We find, Chairperson, in slide 34, that in terms of the DG reviews, they're clearly not, it's not really taken seriously. Although they indicated that their recommendations being made. So my question is in that regard, what are they doing in terms of monitoring the implementation of those recommendations and also trying to remedy the situation in terms of, I know that they can't be consequence management, but surely there must be some penalties or some kind of other relevant avenues that they can take into consideration also to ensure that they are really being taken into seriously. I also have a concern, Chairperson, in terms of the work seekers registered, but also if we look at the high level of employment levels between the specific target groups and the low level of placements, we know that employment is a challenge, and I have particularly a concern in terms of the high levels of unskilled and low-skilled job seekers. So I don't know if the department has any proposal in terms of how to address that issue. My other concern, Chair, is in terms of the ERP and the IR. They stood at the 43% achievement level, but also the 21% financial expenditure. So really we need to find out what is actually happening there. I think I pause the chair also in terms of the NCP, in terms of the print media shortcomings and stuff that they just re-emphasize how important it is. And we know that they are using what GSA is, but do they have other evidence that they can also make use of to ensure that they make on this area, because we know that previously it's also been a concern in the previous financial year. So we don't want to end up going to the fourth quarter and still have the same problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can you open slide 10, please?
In slide 10, we have the beauty of God and heaven covenant. And Northern Cape, a province, didn't keep a small. That are the worst performance. What explanation can we be given there? Because when you have a rural and an urban province, we always assume that urban provinces are best performers. So what has happened there? Why are we at that? Let's go to slide 13. In slide 13, I'm just looking at that column of reasons. Late submission of progress reports by Cochrane Services and the Office of the CFO. Second reason, no information from branches. But when you go to the last column where remedial action is outlined, to me, that part is too soft for the offense on the other side. Can you be appraised? Why are you hugging those that are making the department not perform? Because when you say better coordination, why didn't you offer better from the onset? You want to fail first, and then you fail better. Let's go to slide 34 again, though it was mentioned by the other members. In slide 34, when you look at the trend there, it's as if literally no work has been done. And I don't think it's the first instance that we are having a report of that nature. You can't bear several times that you don't do a thing, because you'll end up being a patient that is in ICU. What is the drastic measure that is going to be taken to improve on that one? To add up to what Honorable Van Kampen has said on LTNIR, what are the bottlenecks there which are causing you to underperform? The other one is, if you look at slide 11, I'm sorry, slide 11, which talks to special needs. In South Africa, there's always a complaint that people's disabilities are always overlooked. We then cannot accept it that you are also lagging behind in that particular area. That one, we just see the next report, there must be an improvement. The last one is, in some areas in your report, you are indicating that you underperformed because inspectors were on leave and that made you not to meet your target. Elaborate on that. Again, your team, over to you.
And then on top of that, to accelerate the field of the cases, we've got some contract workers that are going to be deployed, that have already been deployed to go and assist the provinces that are moving them to a better capacity in terms of the field of the home. Our main challenge here is capturing of the applications that we receive from the homes that are advertised. So the contract writers that we have a total of 20 to 25 that are going to be deployed in different provinces to assist them with the acceleration of the agencies. And then also to ensure that we assist in terms of meeting the targets on EFSA, our agreement targets on EFSA. We are also using we started using the EFSA database to source applicants for posts that are at entry level. I think the use of EFSA system will also assist us in the fact that if you use EFSA, EFSA will actually streamline and to match the post requirements with the applicants that are there. Then it will be to reduce on the number of days that you have to spend to get the shortlisting and other stuff that are related to climate selection. I think basically those are the interventions that we put in place to ensure that the vacancy rate is reduced.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I have to answer. Can we allow them to finish all the questions? Because once we take a follow up after every response, we may not finish.
You never get to
the other issue that probably contributes for us lagging behind in terms of the spending is linked to our vacancy rates. Our budget for contemplation of employees is 64% of our allocation. So the vacancy rates that we have will have a major impact. Will have a major impact in terms of our spending. That's probably the contribution that I can make in terms of expenditure based on the performance from the finance side.
Thank you.
that we were facing at the time. This target was accepted in our threat plan and by the Treasury after a long discussion and even at the cluster level. Now, if honorable members can look at our achievement just in the border, the target was 1,750. We achieved 4,955 with a variance of 3,205, which is more than 50% of our target already in the year. Now, we did a lot of things. Firstly, to improve our systems, we are now IT. We got our career counselors and our employment services practitioners to work very closely with employers in order to achieve that number. It took a lot of effort. And we are not saying for a minute that even though we achieved this number, we should relax, because we are quite aware of the aim of the program. And in fact, if honorable members can go to the annual report that we table, the Auditor General recommended that the department's model of accounting on placement should be used and replicated across government departments, because through the placement process that we are involved in, we are able to track and the information can be validated in terms of exactly where those people have been placed. And that was the recommendation of the AG. So we are not for a moment saying that even though we have actually placed such a number of people who have solved Africa's problem, we still have a long way and this is a collective responsibility. I think Ms. Bronkhorst covered the question on the under-expenditure. And I think the other question relates to improvement in terms of the total number of politicians registered. Yes, indeed, the large number of our people are people who dropped out of this committee. But this committee, and going back to its history, members will know that we were responsible for skills development that is the other part. That process is no longer under our control to capacitate the large number of young people. What we can only do is to refer them to education. We know that the large number of more than 4.2 million that are registered on our system, some of them are not keen to go back to class. So they need alternative intervention programs to capacitate them either to go into the labor market and self-employment, going to entrepreneurial cooperatives, etc. And colleagues in the department and sisters are doing a bit, but we don't have control of the targets and all that. The second alternative that we are now looking at is to look at the labor integration problem. Given the scale of the problem and given the fact that the large number of people that are in this area, some of them are people that are getting stretched to intervene within the labor integration problem to ensure that
just before we go to the next person to respond, the tea outside, we are not going to have an opportunity to break for tea. So people should feel free just to quietly move out and grab something. We are going to have a working tea break. Okay.
Chairperson, I noticed that the CEO of SAE wants to say something.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There were specific questions related to the SEE. The first one related to the contract on a media campaign with GCIS. The response to the council that question is that we've now finalized the contract with GCIS and very soon we will run out a media strategy. The second one related to the database for special schools. indeed what we heard about has been an unreliable database for special schools, and subsequently we have also resolved that problem by directly interacting with special schools, and we have realized that they keep a database of special schools in the various provinces, and for that reason, when we present a report in the next quarter, members, honorable members, will realize overachievement with regards to the number of special schools visited in the various provinces. Thank you, honorable chair.
Thank you, Mr. I'd like to start off by commenting on the comments made by other members in terms of the role of the expansion of data in the labor market. I think it's very said that something is going to be and I think that's the case for you. There is no saying that because the issue of regulating the labor market and making sure that it's defined, there's lots of information that's been. You see even the space in which we put together our legal network, or for the network which brings together all special partners and constituencies to make sure that we come up with laws that are going to ask the country to realize and implement the legal market. So it has never been the responsibility of the Department of Justice. And the resources that we have on this are so it's impossible that you want to be in every workplace. So there is a responsibility and expectation that there needs to be some relation. And where there are complaints that come to our attention, we address it. And given the resources that we have, it's not going to be possible to try action in every workplace. But like I said, we do address all the complaints that we come for. And I also want to speak to the issue of tennis circuits. That we undergo a very particular exercise. In order to respect tennis and learn the resources at hand. And so that we don't set ourselves targets so that we not have a legal action. And that will lead me to address the issue that was raised by Honorable America around e-infections and the modest tennis that we expect. Yes, I agree, the tennis are quite modest, but so are the resources that we have at hand. For instance, with regards to employment equity, especially in the sector, we were only 16 for the entire country. Those that run the society. So the incentive of tennis, therefore, is going to be in line with the resources that we have. And then, I think some of the issues that I mentioned, I'm going to collect them and respond to them based on the comments that were made by Honorable Francois Lake. Since you were saying the committee is not happy, we appreciate it. And I also want to assure the committee that as IES, she was talking particularly to the performance of IES, as IES, we are also not happy with the performance. But I do want to put things into perspective before I can explain some of the areas of underperformance. If you go to slide 16, slide 16 is talking to indicator 1.1, which is talking to the number of employment sector payers can comply with employment law. For the quarter, we have said, yeah, that's the slide. For the quarter, we have set ourselves a target of 43,402. We're able to do 43,306 with a variance of 96. And if you collapse that into a percentage, we achieve 99.7%. So you have marginal underperforming. And if you look at the same time last year in terms of the number of inspections that were conducted during quarter one, the exact number quarter one last year was 41,954. So for this quarter, although we other achievements in the quarter, collection improved in the numbers. I'm not giving that as an excuse. We should have achieved the target, but I do want things to be put into perspective. Then if we go to the next slide, we see that we've achieved 1.2. And then the next slide, 1.3. The target was 60%. We only achieved 24%. There was gross underperformance in that area by almost more than 40%. And here, the driver is that, first of all, these are new targets that we set ourselves. And during the time of setting the targets, we looked at all factors at play. We looked also at the number of vacancies that we had. And at that time, we had vacancies in the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape. And subsequent to that, we also picked up vacancies in the Northwest and in the Northern Cape. So that kind of compounded the whole area. And that is an area that we are closely monitoring and following through. What we are doing going forward in terms of making sure that you achieve, we also utilize the special services in the branch in Harrison to assist with problems that have got to major segments. Those should be Eastern Cape and Western Cape because their vacancies were quite full sometimes, and in that period, they took up a lot of cases and things. And then if you go to the last one, that talks to the number of incidents investigated and finalized. The target was 65%, we are able to achieve 54%, and the biggest contributor was housing problems. They had the largest chunk, and they didn't do much in that regard. And one of the reasons was that they had vacancies in the area of ownership. And then I also need to talk to the two biggest contributors to the other performance of the branch, which is GP and Mazin Cape, both Honorable South Lake and Honorable Lonnie spoke about this issue. With regards to GP, the challenges are quite diverse. And so much that there was prima facie evidence that there could be an issue of abdication of responsibility by the members in the province. And as a result of that, we did an investigation, a very extensive one. It has just been concluded. And the decision of the branch was to put the province under administration because we couldn't afford to have that province as a province, given its size, its magnitude, and the fact that when it doesn't perform, then the entire country gets affected. So we redeployed some resources from Harrison to GP to assist. And in the next quarter, we monitor the performance very carefully. In the next quarter, there should be some improvements. And Northern Cape is the same. I think the issue there is about the performance information management. And it's also an area that we've gone in to some investigation, and that is what the COO was speaking about. There's going to be a hearing soon. And those relations that are going on there at the strategic level are affecting service delivery. So it is something that we also need to do. There was also an issue on the DG reviews, the fact that they don't decide what the government is doing about it. And I agree with you, Honorable, that we can keep on seeing the same form and nothing changes, and we keep on seeing the same form. Now, this is what we've done going forward. With the limited resources that we have, we decided to graduate into eight methods. We've subjected so far in quarter two more than 50 JSC research companies to DG review for the first time ever that we put in such an emphasis on the JSC research companies. And all of them, all 50 plus of them that is subjected to DG review don't comply, including JSC itself. We've done discovery, we've done clientele, we've done EOH, the list is endless, but we really this time around focus on those big there are people in listed companies, and some of them, we are in talks with them, they want to settle out of court, because when you don't comply, there are instances where we would serve these recommendations, but there are instances where it should be a straight letter out to court. Like for instance, in terms of sanctions, where you can still declare and report straight letter out to court. If you don't have a plan, an easy plan, it's also straight referral to court. And you see that when you look at areas of referring the default type of EEA to court, you pick up an improvement in terms of a DG review. The other thing that we've done almost all institutions of higher learning, subjecting them to DG reviews. And beyond that, Chairperson, we're looking at invoking Section 53 of the Employment Equity Act, which talks to doing business with the state, that it must be a requirement that you comply with the Employment Equity. So the bottom line is this, and companies must have the commission. And also exploring as a department, and making sure that when you say a company is compliant, they must have a clean bill of health with all the legal laws of the department, rather than just one or two, when we give them a certificate of good standing. But it must be a certificate of good standing in line with all the laws of the department. I think those are some of the things that we're exploring. And you can see that these things are beginning to bear fruit. And we created just a hype around it, and the media killed the stories and ran substantive messages to that area. There was also a question around how elaborate was the deed taken. Chairperson, unfortunately, our planning when it comes to leave management leaves a lot to be desired. And that's one area that we're focusing on, particularly in Kotawat. If you look at Kotawat alone, 938 is and the number of days that were involved in it was 11,177. So that cannot be acceptable. We know that people are entitled to leave, but we also know that we were clients that have brought to the state. And therefore, going forward, this is one area that we're managing very meticulously, especially when it comes to what you call forced leave, where you find people who run for the whole year without taking leave, and come before the end of June, they are forced to take leave, otherwise they forfeit the day. So we find that that area, we haven't been able to manage it properly. And on the area of the slow pace of spending, I think it has got to do with the vacancies, because at any given time, we're sitting with a vacancy rate of between 10-12%. So we realize a saving in that regard. So our spending is not when there's a vacancy, salaries, but other things. I hope that covers everything. I think there was an issue that was raised by Honorable America on the fact that our inspection on the price for workplace permits seems to be reactive. That question is reactive by nature. Because you get the request that says, here's a test for foreign workers, and please go in and make sure that they are compliant with the issues that are taken care of. So by nature, it is reactive. But what we do beyond that is that when we go to such workplaces, we subject them to integrated inspection. So that we don't just go there to look only on the issue of the workplace.
Thank you. In your responses, I've picked up two figures on the vacancy rate. Is it 11.85% or 12.34%? Members, those were the responses. Any other follow-up, but it must not open it for again, like making the law. Just go straight to where we have questions. Honorable Franca, big, Honorable America, Honorable Bacon, that's what.
Thank you, Chairperson. It was mentioned that 25 contract workers were
deployed to provinces. I just need to some clarity in terms of were they deployed from national office or were they was it local people from the different provinces had seen political contact? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the responses to the questions that posed to you. I have three questions here. One being with regard to the vacancy. Now, you know, I'm not going to go into philosophical tirade as to why it's important to call 1,023 given our employment vacancy. The only thing I want to ask, Madam Chair, is that figure that was presented, was it at the end of the first quarter, or is it as it is now? In September, end of September or middle of October. So just to have clarity. Secondly, in terms of the fruitful unauthorized expenditure, what we have noticed that was deemed as achieved. Now, I don't know, you know, we almost have over half a million rand of irregular unauthorized expenditure, waste, whatever it is. And there's no action about it as to how you prevent it, because it's achieved it. Ironically, that we have no corrective measures. And lastly, slide 16, I think. The inspection and enforcement services. Particularly on page 9, the one on page 9 says that 43,306 employees were inspected. Now, if I look at the key performance indicator, 1.2 says percentage of non-compliant employees of those reviewed in reference to 1.1 issued with the recommendation to deny employees with this. Now, if we go to 1.1, it states the number of employees inspected per year to determine compliance with employment law. We have such looks like a little contradiction, I must assure you. You always speak about the quarter, you always speak about the year. And finally, Madam Chair, is that the question that I posed with regard to the slide on page 16, but the main amount of that, I might have just slipped outside and it was responded to, is the row with figures there.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. If I can just have a look at page 3, I want to go right back to your introduction. It says creation of decent employment. Maybe we should change that somehow as a policy, and I'm not asking you to change it now, but look at the policy, because it shouldn't be creation of decent employment. Should be maybe promotion like everything else, or creation of an environment to enable decent employment. And I'll tell you why. I've got a problem with it, because that's not what your job is. Your job is not creating employment. Unless you're creating employment inside the department. So again, I would like you to have a look at it. I know that one of the answers given here was that the Auditor General recommended your placement system. It's the system that was recommended, not the results. I was attacking the results, not the system. So you've given me an answer that didn't answer the question. I obviously approved your system and underproved the results. I just having a look again at page 7, slide 14, where it says unauthorized expenditure almost 500,000, as my colleague referred to it, but remedial action, and you put none. sure why it was done. Maybe you should think about possibly taking some remedial action. Just as an aside, on page 7 as well, at slide 13, you've got the word wrong, I think, because it says not archived. I presume you mean not achieved. I was reading it as archived. Page 8, and I know others have referred to this as well, where you have said that some inspectors have taken leave. I understand people took leave, but you know, you're the department. You know when people are taking leave, you know when they have to take leave. I'm not sure how that's not even an excuse. It shouldn't even appear yet, because you know all that. I mean, if anyone should know about leave, it should be the Department of Labor. People are employed after all. And you referred again on slide 19 to that same issue. It must appear there. It was just removed, because we all know that people are taking leave. I just want to refer again to page 23, slide 46. Again, you've said disability is 0.6% of work seekers registered. That's going to be really bad to have 0.6%, when we know that over 3% of our workforce are disabled. I'm not sure what we have to know there. Thank you.
Before I hand over to you, when I close my eyes, some the person may say I'm sleeping, and I might say I'm meditating. I'm raising this on the policy mandate issue, because I think what is critical is the implementation thereof, rather than us saying go and change the policy. Let's come with modalities to implement the creation of deserved employment, because we are full subscribed to that principle, not to the facilitation of creation of deserved employment. And I thought, without making myself departmental official, when they are looked at to the number of formal jobs that were created, it was a movement towards achieving the creation of the deserved employment. Department couldn't respond to these questions because we have to be out of here by 1 o'clock with all the entities present there.
I'm
going to
ask
another
question.
The
question
such as social development, our FED,
organization to the subcultural level. So now we are doing the weekly monitoring. And the date of the October is 11/8. And then the contract workers that we have are contract workers that are employed currently as PM, but they will then be able to access to the Dutchland base in Pretoria. So they'll be connected to different provinces rather than.
Thank you. We are now going to take the empty table. Can I afford you 5 minutes bonus card break? And the empty tables, we are taking them in this order. PPMA, MedLab, Productivity SA, UIF, and Compensation Fund. So prepare yourselves to touch.
So that you mitigate my issues.
Do with the commissioners. outside it because of its impact on the challenges that we face in the outcome of the car. Other than that, in terms of occasions or outreaching, everything is still important. There's no need to consider it. But after the outreach, we run school, as you always said. By increasing them, the major changes are bringing in terms of capacity, specialization, and all of that in terms of placing our commissioners and creating specialist commissioners. But there is new contact. That's the non-financial performance that we have to support. And I give you the CFO just to talk about the finances. As far as I know, there's nothing also of concern that we need to.
Thank you, Chair. And as the director has mentioned, there isn't much yet to report about. Out of the candidates, we're reporting that we, the 7% were in line with our budget spending, and our income also was just a 0.03% which is actually in line with what we're projecting. The only thing that was lagging behind in this quarter is on the procurement side, which is really to the fact that most of our procurement go through the tender process, and the tender process is actually taking longer than expected. I think it was a bit optimistic of us to think that you could have done much, you know, in 3 months when the procurement process with all the big committees do take a lot of time. But at 8% coverage spent, we are in line with our spending. Thank you.
I kept my promise of time. You should be proud of us.
The climate change has affected the industry. You also tried to change. I'm going to give an opportunity to members to speak lastly. Honorable Bagram, I see your hand is up. Any other member? Honorable America? Let's take those two for now.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that report. First of all, I must praise the CCMA for a fantastic report and fantastic results. Well done on this. I mean, one cannot imagine trying to somehow manage the amount of arbitrations that you are doing. It's been rising on a rapid basis, and you're 3 out. I mean, that's unbelievable reportage, and I hope the DG, when he does come back, is able to give you that accolade. So well done on that. And I think the praise ought to be given as quickly as possible. Just in terms of the overspend, one of the reasons was for the part-time commissioners. I actually don't think that's an overspend. I think you should be budgeting for part-time commissioners, and it's probably why you using part-time commissioners is that when you have a bulge of cases deferred, you bring in the part-time commissioners, which then results in what you've just told us now, that you've had 3 done on time. And because I know that your numbers are going up on a regular basis, so I think well done on that, because you're managing it properly. And so I don't think it's an overspend. Also, as well, you referred to an overspend because you've had to go venue hire and travel in outlying areas. Again, I don't think that's an overspend. I think you need praise for that, because you're taking to the CCMA to the people, which is one thing this committee has in the past questioned you on, or before your time, that we had a problem in the past and that the CCMA wasn't able to convene in strange places being places outside the cities. And so, well done. I know from personal experience that if there's an arbitration and endurance, you set up the CCMA there. And again, I don't think it's overspent. So I only have praise, Madam Chair. Thank you.
When an attorney abroad was the
same
thing,
that's 2009. I agree. I think I can respond with regard to the report. The director and Mariana could possibly just brief us about the recent residence inspectors of the Cape Town office. We know that
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we often tend to criticize when criticism is due, so I would like to commend the CCMA for their performance. And we are only quarter one, so we don't want anything messy going forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, my name is Chairperson. Thank you to both the members. I'm also contact this message to the team if they need it the most. This is the one who did not have it. On the Cape Town one, we Cape Town, Johannesburg, and the head office, we extended those contracts because the landlord offered better in terms of what caused us to move in the first place. But what I can confirm to you is that the litigation around the lease itself, the one that has always been in the portfolio, that one is continuing. Because after they sold the building, as you know, they still wanted to sue us. We have a move forward. But not depending. It costs us a lot of money. We should be using our services, but they are not your concern. So, other than America, we are, we now stay as far as Cape Town is concerned. We want to move in. So, for some sort of litigation, everything is set up. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you go to Medlin?
Thank you. I'd like to move to slide 4. Slide 4 talks to the summary of performance on quarter 1 to Medlac. As we can see there, we have three programs: administration, cooperation, and constituent capacity building funds. We achieved 91% overall performance for the first quarter. The only two indicators or targets that we didn't achieve was in core operations. That was mainly on the area of communications, which relates to the website upload, which couldn't be done because we lost the person that was responsible for our communication, as well as the submission of the Tesserico report in the first quarter. It wasn't done. So we achieved almost 91% in total for all of that. The next slide, 5, is just the amplification of the fourth slide, which is taking into account all the strategic objectives that we have. And the next slide, which is slide 6, is also the same aspect, just highlighting what we have achieved on slide 6. We can move to slide 6, please. And slide 7, if we move to slide 7, that is the summary of consideration of Section 77 notices in the first quarter. As you can see there, we achieved about two in this financial year, the first quarter of this financial year, and there are four that are outstanding from the previous financial. And I would like to move to the next slide. That is just the articulation of the different pieces of legislation and reports that was handled by NEDLAC. They are all in progress. That's what was submitted in the first quarter. And slide 9, those are the sessions that we have conducted with different institutions in the the first quarter, that's what has been happening. We've had sessions with household saving sessions with the South African Saving Institution, Decent Work Country Program, Dairy Sector sessions. We also met technical infrastructure agencies, and we are on the, still meeting on an ongoing basis on the sovereign downgrade, which we also did in the first quarter. I would like then to give the CFO just to give the summary of our performance and the challenges that we faced in the first quarter.
Thank you, Shem. I think I'll just summarize the expenditure for quarter one, which I think is on slide 17, just to highlight the challenges. On that slide, we've got program one, where in terms of percentages, we've spent 24% for quarter one. We are just 1% below the. Can just put it in the next again. That, yes, thank you. Under program one, we have spent 24% of the allocated budget for quarter one. We're just 1% below the average for that quarter. And then under program two, we have spent 29%. We are 4% over above the average. And one of the major contributors to that is the expenditure that's relating to the activities of the national minimum wage, because we didn't have the budget at the beginning of that, but we are in the process of getting additional funds that we actually cover. And some of those activities have come to an end. So the expenditure on that line will also reduce, and we're expecting that by end of quarter three, we will have a new development in terms of the budget that needs to cover the extra expenditure on that line item. And under program three, we have spent 11% of your allocated budget. And under program three, we've got three constituencies, which is the business, labor, and community. You would see that in the past financial years, the two constituencies, the expenditure trend on those two constituencies, which is labor and business, normally take place during quarter three and quarter four. For example, that's where the labor constituency will have the labor school, which actually takes a significant amount of that budget, as well as the business constituency as well. Most of the research projects, which are done about between 8 to 9% of that budget, actually, it goes to the research projects. Those are normally done between quarter three and quarter four. So by the end of quarter four, the expenditure will have increased significantly under that line item, which is program three. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
That's the report, members. Any clarification questions? Honorable America, any other help, Honorable from Gabriel? Let's take those two in that order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just pass the paragraph here on page 4, summary of consideration of Section 707 notices. If we look at the second line, number of matters tabled by the end of Q2, shouldn't that be Q1? And the third column number of matters achieved in Q2, shouldn't that be can you just clarify on that? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
performance in terms of the promotion of social dialogue and communication. I think that in the conclusion they are mentioning that during the current financial year they ensure that they set up performance targets are achieved. But I need to know if they have a proper plan in place, because we know that it's actually an area that needs special attention. So even though we commend them for their good performance, it's actually the area of concern to me. Thank you.
Mine is just a matter of seeking to be given some feedback. Or in your slide 8, it's not something in your report that has to do with what you're on slide 8. There you have number 5, if you don't have under consideration, you have this sugar certain big range tax. I hear outside this wall that the community constituency is complaining because they are not included in the debate. Can you respond this so that I can respond to the person who has asked me that question? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, honorable members. Just to deal with the first question regarding from honorable America regarding the quota. Yes, it should be quota one. It's, that is page 4. It should be quota one and not 2. It should be quota one in both of those pages. Apologies for that. And in terms of the second question relating to promotion of social dialogue through communication, we achieved 67% there. We had 3 plan targets for the first quarter. And the reason for that, we understand the importance of that particular activity for NEDLAC. But the main reason for that is that the person that was responsible for communication left the organization. And what we are doing right now also to underscore the importance of communication and social dialogue is that NEDLAC is in the process of developing a communication strategy which will be presented to the next Executive Council of NEDLAC for approval. And the last question relates to matters under consideration in quarter one, number 5, that is slide 8, the sugar restricted beverage tax work that has been done at NEDLAC. We have 4 chambers at NEDLAC, and the community is only involved or included in the development chamber. The other ones, for example, this particular one is dealt with by the Public Finance and Monetary Policy Chamber, where the community is not involved. But in many of the task teams that are set up by the management committee, which we call MENCO task teams, they are involved in that. But in this particular one, they were not involved, but they will have obviously an opportunity to be consulted once Parliament starts that particular process. Thank you.
Any further clarification questions? Okay.
The issue regarding the Section 77 applications that are handled by NEDLAC is that we do not have necessarily have the time frame to conclude those because it depends on the parties that are involved. Sometimes it will take a year, sometimes a month to conclude matters. Maybe in some of those there will be consultation between the parties before we issue a certificate as NEDLAC. The parties may have requested an opportunity to consult amongst themselves in order to try and reach agreement on the dispute that has been presented to NEDEC by whatever trade union federation that they have submitted it. And the others obviously were tabled just a month before the commencement of the quarter, which is March this year. So that's why we have that carryover.
Any addition, please? Thank you. Can you go to productivity?
Thank you, Member. I would like to start with line 6. They will set ourselves to two targets.
General solutions and the proposal that was submitted to the board to have the performance indicator to be reviewed.
Now, when that was decided upon, I think, Mark, you know, given the low levels of entrepreneurship and the high levels of unemployment, such a key performance indicator is very relevant. And it would appear to me that due to the lack of funding for to implement that, or to support that performance indicator, that would be the reason as to why that key performance indicator is really huge. Now, just largely that it's also dependent upon this funding agreement with the UIF. Is it true that the UIF is not supporting the program, or what is the reason why the funding proposal that is supported indicator has not been sort of concluded? Then secondly, I'm asking on the chair, but also it may also be linked, possibly through a lack of capacity. That's why we cannot support this indicator any longer. Because certainly within the FedRAMP solutions, there are key personnel that need to be appointed and that has been delayed due to the uncertainties surrounding funding. If we don't have the capacity, this kind of thing, and if the funding issue, and we know that the surplus that been carried over from the last financial year, why would it, you know, still pose a problem that those key personnel within a key program cannot be appointed? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also speaking in terms of 1.29 in terms of that performance indicator. When I look at the remedial action and implementation, is they are taking that instrument of motivation in terms of the server to be removed, and I think maybe that's the best idea to effectively cause when I generally look at all the reports, including the Department of Labor and the entities, it's a point of concern to me that over the past 3 years, I have realized that there is continuously a problem with what it has to communication. And I think the leader of the delegation should speak around that issue in terms of the plans that are in place to improve the communication across the entities. Thank you, members. Can you open slide 6, please? Slide 6, you have an area where you promote dialogue and the cursor, the last one. You plan quick, you achieve one, which is 17%. But the parable can be given an explanation to the other ones to provide support to companies facing economic distress. Once you are halfway there, what is the challenge? Because for me, 3 is not a cumbersome number. It's a number you can work on. The last one is you are the people alluded to the fact that there was understanding on employee costs. How come that you are a large entity? Because in most instances there's overspending on employee costs and then your performance is not up to scratch. Are you making requirements too high for you to attract candidates for your vacancies,
or what is the problem. Because we cannot allow you to fail on by using by not filling in vacancies. What is the challenge then? Over to you again, your team.
Thank you. The first question that talks to the area where we wanted to support enterprises which are actually retrenching, so that actually those who retrench when they want to get started with the problem. First is a question of our ability to put together proposal to the commissioner. So it's not the commissioner of capital. So because of that lack of capacity in that area where we don't have electricity as well as senior management, it became very difficult. But we have finally put that together. But now with the experience of the past, you become very cautious when you do some of the things to say. There are two critical problems that we are focusing on. The turnaround solution is my problem. But this problem was actually a response of the airlines that are working with the demand. We can see where there's a change. But the question is, what is it that we can do in terms of enhancing programs, the employment promotion programs? What can we do to help them start this thing, the situation? However, through the autonomous one, that is why we are saying we are close to the board to say, for now, let's work on this one, so that we can have that reform. So when we say uncertainty of funding, it's due to those types of things, that you don't get any programs, you only find that you will train because you don't have funding. However, I need to emphasize, in our engagement with the commissioner, there's progress in the airlines, because the proposal is there, but as I say, I just have to be sure that I'm ready, I've got the resources to implement that. The issue relating to turnaround solution is exactly that program chairperson, where we have two targets for the agenda. One, the saving on vacancies. We have funding for us come from two sources. The first source is the Department of Labor, wherein we implement programs that has to do with strategic objective number one, as well as strategic objective number five. However, because we could not fill particular vacancies in the turnaround solutions program, that is strategic objective number two. As I said, those are essentially three senior management positions and three executive ones. It's not, maybe one would say, our expectations are high because we are in the knowledge environment, in the consulting phase, we compete with the likes of KPMG and the others in terms of this way that we do. Now, although we have taken the governmental approach, let's say, but a state-owned entity that has to ensure that we support programs that would have an impact on growth and development. But the temptation we have is not to lower expectations in terms of capacity. So yes, we found that we put an advert and then we have very few people apply for the position. And then you create a file and advertise, then you end up with the funds not there. Today, it took us between
Let's stretch
let's stretch our standards so that we are able to provide poverty relief to South Africans within a short space of time, so that there's money in the pocket of our community much quicker. As a result, we stratified our benefits into three key benefit types, which is your unemployment, your disease or death benefit, and your incentive benefit. We also changed the general assumption 90%, for example, for unemployment. 90% within 10 days. Let me just get to this one. This is your unemployment, what is the benefit? 90% within 15 working days. Now, comparing this to where we were at the previous couple of years, where we also had 90% within 5 weeks. And if you look at how we performed with these targets, 80% of these have been processed within 15 working days, which shows that it's possible that for us to be our beneficiaries at a shorter time once everything is complete. And to this end, we are putting measures in place to drive towards achieving this target of 90% within 15 working days, so that we can provide poverty relief to South Africans much quicker and are able to be relieved of the stress that is placed at a given point in time. And maybe to highlight our highest volume driver, which is housing. Housing is the highest volume driver. They've achieved 86% within 15 working days. And this is a stretch target, moving away from 90% within 5 weeks to 15 days. For them to achieve 86%, it's a reflection that we stretch them and they are willing to go an extra mile and change how they're processing. In order for us to close these gaps, I'm going to touch all three of these that have been achieved, because all of them are similar on time. First, can you go back to the top one? And the next one? Yes. Please go back to page 20. Thank you. And then we emphasize, Chairperson and members, if housing can achieve 86%, moving from 90% within 5 months, it means it's possible. If you can just drive a bit more, and this is now our first drive in quarter one, that in 10 days we change the target from 90% to, in 5 weeks, 90% in 15 days. This drive is an indication that it's possible to turn things around and achieve this target. We have already given all the provinces 158 CSOs to give them capacity to also close the gaps on this. At this stage, a number of labor centers have already advertised the interviews and the process of our calling the CSO. So we're expecting that in quarter two, the results will look different compared to quarter one. The other thing that we're doing, we're converting all labor centers into processing centers so they can open every single member who comes to the labor center to process. Because previously they come to the labor center, the labor center will be a post office, and another labor center will process all the provincial offices. We are moving away from labor centers being a post office to a labor center processing end-to-end and moving the client. This will also have an impact on the turnaround time that you see here. We also have a service delivery improvement plan in place. We have already started implementing this plan in quarter two. We expect to see the impact of those changes during our reporting for quarter two. To see the results will be much better than 50%. And you can see the numbers. 169,000 processed in this quarter. You can move to slide, we'll skip slide 22 and go to slide 25. Slide 25 is also one of our key challenges in that this target that we have here is our percent increase in revenue for the year. Now, this target is mainly driven by companies contributing the 1% and we are contributing the 1% to the 2%. These are our main revenue drivers on this page. This also is driven in the main by how well the economy is performing, how companies are performing, if they are employing more people or not. And as they employ more people and unemployment reduces, our revenue also increases. And our view again also on this one is the amount of control we have in this target is limited. So, as the CSA has reported now recently, our unemployment rate has increased. Now, if unemployment rate increases, it affects our percentage increase in revenue because we are having lesser people These are our liver activation targets. Now, liver activation as a principle is driven by the number of agreements we enter into with different stakeholders to do our training layoffs, training of our employees. And as in the same Kiba area, the CEO of the team has already touched on turnaround solutions. It's one of the areas that we find in the new area. And this, all these projects are driven by projects that are in place. Most of the time, in the first quarter, funds are committed, but there is no expense incurred. The committee targets, for example, if you look at our TMS, we completed the TMS a training layoff scheme with Delbert and AMCO. With Delbert, we are intending to train 40 people at 1.6 million, and AMCO, the intention is to train 246 people. We are intending to spend about 1.4 million in quarter two, and 7 million in quarter three and quarter four. And you can see our first year is just cost as we are moving quarter two, quarter three, and the remaining of the quarter. And this target will start to change, so we look better. We've also done a request for proposals to train even more people. The one time we've received and approved amounts of about 46,000 people that will send a chance to train for the rest of the year, with a tune of 547 million. Now, already tells you in quarter one, most of the spread work is done to achieve the target that we move from quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four moving forward. And also, just to touch on invoices, we've already received about 37 invoices that are going through the process of the quality check to check if everything is in order, they pay the right service provider, they train the right people, sending out MNE, the spirit between each loan, services that we have provided. To an extent that we train about 919 to the tune of 16 million. That also needs to be accounted for in this process. And hence these two targets that we missed for leave activation. The expectation is that in quarter two, quarter three, we will be putting the target to start improve and look better. On that note, Chair, I'd like to move swiftly to finance as I hand over to the CEO. Thank you.
All is well, and we question to members. Honorable from Africa, Honorable America.
Question with this is because we see there is an under expenditure of staff cost of 22%, and that represents the vacancy, I wouldn't say represent the vacancy rate, but could Mr. Malupin, commissioners, indicate to us what the vacancy rate within the department? He did indicate that the positions of CSOs are in the process of being filled, with also the redesign of labor centers is necessary to the employment of further personnel. This is my question, Member Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Member. From my side, there's only one question. It's on processing of claims. It's something you have not said to us, which was always a complaint in previous settlements. In both cases, we find that your computers are down, and that affects the processing of claims. A case at hand, for instance, is your Divana satellite. People from Divana go and flock in justice, because most of the time the systems in Vizana are down. What plans are in place? Because if you ask decentralized and further, I'm just thinking of the crisis which may be there when it comes to these computers which are ever down. What plan do you have in place? You can respond.
Thank you, Chair. A question from Honorable Francois. We've looked at the issue of capacity across the department. We've done an analysis also to look at the volume and check on the demand. The first one was to bring just the 250 million for any assigned to Lima Center. Then when we go to the second point, we'll close the gaps on the capacity constraints. The second one is the processing of claims has been happening across all the provinces, except the central line in the second river center, that are connected and the main processing center. There's already negotiation that has started with the people to move them to river centers closer to their homes as part of the process. So it reduces the burden on the river center, so we move them away from the central area. We've also done a volume review to check just how far will we require extra capacity. There are certain river centers that will not be necessarily converted to processing centers due to the size of applications they receive. Some river centers receive about 40 applications per month, and it wouldn't be necessary to convert them to a fully fledged processing center given the amount of volume they receive. So the conversion would be limited, and there is enough capacity at this stage to fill the personal capacity. But we'll do, there'll be a need, those interviews possibly supervisors in some of the universities. So I think it's a problem that supervises fully. In terms of computers, in terms of computers, there's a process to delete the data center and then to closure. What we've done though as UIF is to test what would a Wi-Fi solution do to the data center. We were at Eastern Cape about 2 weeks ago. Grandstown. And we tested free Wi-Fi in that space. And we used Wi-Fi to work in the system and we were able to access and process design to come. We could not attend that to get Wi-Fi installed across the university as part of us showing up this year. I believe that it closed about 2 weeks ago, so we're starting the process of accessing and getting the labor centers heavy Wi-Fi, which will be and we just problem.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. My question was, when I was in America, around the issues of the staff cost, why do we understand there? Yes, we have understand what is sitting there as well. It's a budget for the 258 CFO position. And we've also created positions for labor acquisition so that we can be prepared to meet. Thank you.
Okay,
we can come back on.
Oh, thank you. And just to add, and the labor acquisition structure has been improved. I'm just looking to start the process of advertising the approach. Yes.
Okay, I
want
to say that
most
of the concerns raised by Honorable Sam
I don't mean that it's submitted by the employer during the
quarter. The second one was the percentage of requests received for processing and assisted devices that need to be adjudicated in 16 working days of the city. The target there was about 85% of these would need to have been dealt with within the 15 days of the city. Now, this is a new function that we decentralized to processing, which relates to how we manage the issuing of assistive devices to our clients who suffer disabilities as a result of workplace injuries or diseases. This was previously done at head office, and we then decentralized this to provinces as we appointed medical service personnel in the provinces. The process of stabilizing the decentralization and making sure that each of the provinces know what they need to do took much longer, as we saw the first time in quarter one that they were dealing with it. As a result, they were able to do about 26% of the of these requests within the 15 days. The rest was done beyond the 15 days target that we set. We received about 183 requests for approval. So only about 48 of these were done within the 15 days period. Here's slide 8, which is often 24, talks to those that we've also talked to those that we've achieved. I won't touch on that. And then slide 9 and 10, which is on page 5 of the handout, just gives us the breakdown of the claims that we've adjudicated in terms of the province. So slide 9 talks to the adjudication of claims, and slide 10 talks to the adjudication of the medical claims that we received from medical services. The last slide, which is slide 6, which is on page 12, here that I will talk to you on the how we've used the budget to achieve the 81% that we've achieved. We have utilized about 11% of the budget that we set for the year. We're supposed to have been on 25%. We've used about 11%. I think the big contributor there is the fact that we have used less resources with regards to program 3, which is in the provinces, the procurement goods and services as well of, with regards to the provinces. And also we know that most of this is the claim that we get from the department with regards to the goods and services of the department and cares on behalf of the fund. So usually these come through throughout the year, and most of them finalize towards the end. The other one was on program 2, which is based mainly to claims that we paid. We paid about, I think we used about 11% of the budget, paying 511 million. And of quarter one of the things that we budget for here is also the actuarial reserve that we make for claims that would have been reported at the end of the financial year. So that budget is also included there. That is why the performance reflects much lower than what. In terms of the spend of the money, much lower than what we actually performed, So the rest of the slides is the same information, and it breaks down the information province in terms of the claim that is dealt with for the quarter. It also gives a breakdown the injury type, the top contributors in terms of employers where injuries are taking place over the quarter. So I will not touch on those.
That's the presentation, Honorable Members. Any clarification questions? Honorable America.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's no doubt, Madam Chair, I've experienced over the past 3 years with the compensation fund, which has just had since the appointment of Commissioner Partner, that things have changed for the better over the years. And we're eternally grateful for his efforts and his team's efforts to really make a difference in the lives of our people who are in financial need. And the figures represented here today is testimony of that, and I hope that it will continue to be so. However, I have two questions. The slide on page 3, the bottom one, the comparative performance over the 3 years, abundance, the bar charts. It's a bit misleading because we don't compare apples and apples in that instance. If you look at the plan indicators for the various 3 years, certainly the percentage would be obviously affected as a result thereof. But be that as it may, that's all. Okay. But there it is. That's just the commercial intermission. The other thing is just that if one look at the reported injuries to the province, you will notice that the Western Cape has reported a comparatively speaking to the other provinces, a substantial amount of injuries incurred at the Western Province Health Department. Injuries within the workplace. Is there a particular reason why there is that low level of reporting in other provinces, or are the Western conditions so unsafe in the Western Cape that it sort of automatically necessitates a high degree of reportage? Thank you, Madam Chair.
I am not sure whether they got you. I lost you after you said that license was needed. Can you direct us to the meeting but so that I can understand? For instance, the committee members will not move with the same tool.
So, if you look at the 2015-16 presentation, there we have 17 plan indicators. The following needs to be reduced to 13, and this current financial year that we're in, it's been reduced to 7. So that has an impact on the percentages. So if we have more indicators, the percentage might be lower. Thank you.
Can you say it's confusing, but I'm saying it's intrinsic to my book. So until they clarify that, yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to come to you.
Thank you, Chair. I think the government seems to not understand very much when I write a note. Chair, I generally don't have any concern, especially, but when I look at slide number 9, I see that the claims registered in adjudicated within 60 working days. Generally, the performance is very good, standing at approximately 95%. But when I look at the province of Mpumalanga, it's compared to the other provinces, it's 72% and the other ones in the region of more than 90%. So can I just get an indication of what's happening there? Did they further investigate or is there special attention there? Thank you, Chairperson.
Before I hand over to you for a response, mine is just a comment. The countries in all other programs are all of a sudden the best performers where money is concerned. They performed well in UIF, which involves money. That is of Gauteng and Northern Cape. The same in compensation funds. Okay, I'm not happy with that. Something might be wrong. Follow that money. It should go to where it's supposed to go. There's no way that you don't understand any other thing other than paying people.
Thank you. Thank you, Jefferson. We touched on the misleading price, we're not comparing apples to apples. Check, the numbers may be different in terms of the number of indicators, but roughly reporting here is the percentage, which reflects the amount of effort put in. Percentage in achievement or an achievement. So irrespective of what the number is, when you were working other percentages, you're able to compare the different variables that you are looking at, because you're not looking at the actual number. The reason why Western Cape it has high number of cases registered or not, I think that's the one of the reasons why we partnered with IEF, so that we can use some of the statistics that we generate, so that the OHS inspectors can then be able to know in which provinces and in what areas within those provinces we need to do more advocacy, we need to do more inspections to make sure that general compliance with data health and safety. I will not be able to give reasons why in the Western Cape in this quarter this has happened, but at least we will get this information like this and be able to use it for the purposes of making sure that we prevent any large number of patients in the information case in some of those problems here that I think is fine. Mpumalanga has performance sitting at 72%, which is a slight improvement. I think that also the colonies presented the annual report. Mpumalanga was sitting at around 41% in terms of this particular indicator. There has been an improvement that we've made, and one of the biggest problems was the issue of capacity training that was required, and making sure that they fill the necessary critical posts that are within their compensation fund page, so that they have claims, adjudicators, the head of the province, Okoye also was not appointed. So we put in place all these measures to make sure that we can appoint the people that were not there before. There has been a special focus. A lot of head office officials have been going to the province to do ongoing training and support to help with the adjudication of claims. I think it was one of the reasons why the government also, in as much as they have not achieved for quarter one, but they have improved from what it was in, at the end of quarter four.
Any addition, please? So the addition, I just say that in our next topic, we try and link the info around the number of claims that are compliant with the country ownership, so that we make the information available to you.
Thank you very much to Department of Justice and the Department of Justice. I think in terms of that item, which was the pressing kind of discussion, we adapt. The department is free to just stretch your legs, because I'm told that lunch, which is going to be ready at 1, once you are finishing our agenda. If there's anyone who wants to sneak out, you're free to do so as long as it's not going to tamper with our agenda. Members, can we continue with our agenda? We are focusing on the minutes of the 11th of October. Anyone moves for adoption of the minutes of the 11th of October? Honorable, can you comment? Honorable Chairman,
this one is for you. This one is for me.
Honorable can I at this stage allow the secretary to talk to the program? Remember, last week we adopted our program by having done that. Can you close the door? By having adopted the program, we took a decision on the process with the program. So we presented the program. That's why the focus is on the area of change. Over to you, Sola.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members and Chairperson. I think that the change is on debate because of the pause that we sort of put on the labor amendment bill, because it was to be submitted for comment.
starting next week, the 25, I was asked to move to the chair. On the 25, which is next week, Wednesday, the conduct is now waiting to be here.
Those are the fundamental changes, but remember, we also, in terms of the bill, we directed both the parliament and the department to go and do some work, if we can just refer on that.
Thank you, Chair. From the side of parliament, which was requested that the actual clause that needs to be rectified should be placed in the parliamentary website and also the parliamentary confirmation section was asked to also jump in and assist in publicizing this clause to be rectified. So we have already posted the clause on parliamentary website, and the PCS parliamentary communication has also posted it on social media, which includes Twitter, Facebook, etc. But they've also asked for airtime for media statements, SAP radios, which include Metro, Provenelo, Cozi, Tobela, RSG, SAFM, which are national radios, so it will have slots that they have out on the board where it will be broadcast at the past stage.
Are there any comments on YouTube? Because in essence, they are just for noting. anyone who then wants to take us forward to this presentation and conference. Honorable America. Honorable America proposes as such, and any other proposal, Honorable Zimbabwe.
I'm taking the proposal, Chair. But also, I'm thinking while Mr. Kansa referred to the different platforms that he was using, indicate anything in terms of the media.
Any response? Print media.
I was of the opinion, Honorable Chair, that we had already publicized it to the office. We communicated that we cannot go back to the country because of the cost. So that's why we had to publicize it in social media.
Honorable members, that
takes
us to the end of our meeting. Apologies, our meeting was a bit long today. It's unlike us. But there was a lot of work that we had to do. No minute was wasted in any way. Thank you very much. The meeting has come to an end. Lunch will be served.
Thank you.
Okay.